We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me for the first time in a fairly long time, I'll explain that in a second, a man who knows more about the Warriors than most of its coaches, and a guy who has been on this podcast, 50 times, but has never listened to a single episode of it, Mr. Rushy Simmons.
Well, I listen to him while we do it.
That's not listening to it. That's you participating in it. You have an obligation to at least listen to it one time, man.
But I heard what we said.
No, you did not. You just said it, and then you moved on. And before we even get sucked down this rabbit hole, let's acknowledge how kind of awkward this is. I said up front that I hadn't seen you for a while. That's kind of a lie.
It was an absolute lie. We saw each other a week ago.
Yeah, well, not an absolute lie, but kind of a lie. We did, in fact, see each other a week ago. We recorded an entire episode. That entire episode got completely lost because of technical difficulties. Let me just ask you straight out, who do you blame for that?
You.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, Scott wasn't here. You don't kind of blame Scott?
No, it was your fault.
I'm
going to go with you on this one.
You're wrong. You're definitely wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, because there is so much good stuff, we are going to be recovering a lot of the topics we already did. And you're going to hear me use a lot of the same jokes. I mean, the audience doesn't know, but you will.
So I should fake laugh.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So we're going to be testing your professionalism. If at some point you break this facade, I'm not going to take it well.
Yeah.
All right?
I'm going to come up with new points on everything.
Oh, I don't believe that.
It's going to happen.
I absolutely don't believe that. Another couple of logistics before we jump in. One, we are not recording this in the relative complete uncomfortable nature of your house. We're actually in mine. So if it's too cold for you, I know it's below 200 degrees. You let me know. I can turn up the heat. Okay?
It's sweltering in here.
It is actually ironically kind of hot. And finally, once again, unfortunately enough, Scotty is not here. So if we are just speaking into these mics again for no reason, I think we should blame him, no?
If it happens again, it can be Scotty's fault.
All right. There you go. I appreciate that. Also, it was Scotty's fault the first time. Moving right along. It's been pseudo a long time. Let's start off with the Insider's Report. And just today, friend of the podcast, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, dropped an article that is getting a crap ton of attention. It was called Golden State's Draymond Green Problem, where he looked behind the scenes. He wasn't just looking at Draymond's kind of concerning offseason, but looked at some possible tension that's brewing between he and teammates, he and the coach, all these things. So what I want to do is read to you some of these segments. You tell me what you witnessed last year and whether or not you agree with it, all right? First point that Ethan has is this idea that some of the teammates are actually frustrated by Draymond's actions. Here is the actual quote from Ethan's article. Quote, throughout the season, Green, in the guise of motivation, would berate his coworkers during games and practices. On multiple occasions, he had to be separated from teammates. Then he goes on with this quote from a player, Draymond effed up practice and ish. Then Warriors center Maurice Spade says, Draymond's a good guy, but I think at the end of the day, it hurt the whole chemistry of the year. One player in particular, he says, took much of the heat. Draymond and Clay got into it a lot. Let me start this way. Do you think any of this is true? What's your observations?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are parts of that are true. Tom Izzo tells stories about Draymond Green kicking the basketball and then having to chase it in practice, and so that slows down the tempo of practice. That was in college. At the professional level, Draymond is listened to almost like a coach. If there's something about the scheme that he doesn't like, he voices his opinion. If somebody's messing something up, he voices his opinion. One thing that I think makes for a great leader is that you understand the guys who need to be smacked and you understand the guys who need to be patted, right? And I don't think Draymond does that all the time. I think his is always to berate because that's what works for him. Luke Walton was always telling him he was terrible because that's what got Draymond going.
Give me an example. So when they say he's berating players during games was what Ethan said. Is he just calling out defensive assignments? Is he literally attacking people during timeouts? What does that mean?
He gets really frustrated when someone misses a defensive assignment, and he's not scared to do it in front of people.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that bothers players, right? Like if it's on the bench and the sanctity of that or in the locker room, that's okay. But he does it right in the middle of the court where everybody can see it. And we saw during the playoffs a couple of times – Klay Thompson is non-combative. He doesn't want any of that stuff. And we saw him just kind of wave Draymond off. But that, to me, doesn't mean that there's any riff. That's just two different personalities. Wait, one guy is loud.
Because I don't remember that. So what? Draymond called Clay out.
Clay took a bad shot early in the shot clock, missed the shot. Draymond's all over.
Barking at him and doesn't care.
Yeah, Clay just waves it off.
Ethan says that...
Because Clay already knows. Like, he already knows he took the bad shot. Right. He doesn't need his father to tell him. Right. He doesn't need Draymond to tell him. He knows.
Well, and presumably he knows who the hell Draymond is. Right. He's played with him for a few years right. now, so when that reaction comes up, you're not in particularly surprised, yeah. right? If I hang out with a friend I know to be an angry drunk, I drink with him and then he gets angry, I'm not in particularly surprised by that.
Right.
I know it's coming.
Yeah.
The berating, I guess I have seen, the line that caught my attention from Sherwood Strauss was that he frequently had to be, quote, separated from teammates during practice. You heard anything about that?
There's a reason why we in the media can't watch practice yeah. because we would tweet and take video yeah. of these. There are little scuffles, rustles all the time. Because of the way Draymond plays, he's in the middle of those yep. and he practices like he plays in games. I don't read anything into that. In fact, I take it the opposite way. If that wasn't happening, you don't care enough.
You know, that's exactly right. So the thing that I thought as I read this article is that these guys, it's not the Golden State I don't know, Boy Scout troop, right? Like right. these guys don't necessarily have to like work together and sing Kumbaya. What they have to do is win basketball games.
Right.
And if this edge causes tension, but the tension spills over into success on the court, who cares about the tension, right?
And in fact, I think they need some of that tension. I mean, that was Kobe Bryant's quote early on last season, was there needs to be somebody who is always making them uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's what Draymond Green does. I don't think they had an alpha before Draymond. That's not Steph's being. That's not Clay's being. It's not Kevin Durant's being.
All right, so let's take a step back. There's two types of tension he's talking about. One is the tension that arises right when Draymond is berating you on the court right. or is literally in your face and is causing all this drama. And of course that's there. It doesn't matter how much you love. So I'd really enjoy your company. If you got up today and started screaming at me,
right.
I'd be very tense. And then when we got over it, I'd be okay. We'd move yeah. on. There's a secondary kind of tension where if you do that enough, you're going to start building resentment for somebody.
Right.
Let's say you split up five of our podcasts like that. By right. the sixth one, I'm wary and I don't know if I want to do this with you anymore.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that? Is there lasting animosity because of what's been going on?
I'm sure there is a line that he can reach at some point, but he's such a good teammate. I mean, we've seen already this offseason how he's gone to bat for Clay. He's right. gone to bat for Kevin Durant. He's such a good teammate that I think this stuff just washes over quickly. He apologizes, he means it, and they go out and they play.
Every picture I've ever seen with Draymond and another teammate, including most recently in the Olympics, it looks like they are having the time of their life.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I mean, we saw that stuff when he went to, I don't remember what football game it was, but he went with Steph and they were throwing grapes at other
right,
people.
Right.
And it was this aggressive kind of deal, but they were having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, so, and in fact, in response to this, Spates came out on Twitter on Wednesday and tweeted this, quote, "I don't even talk like that," talking about the quote that Ethan gave him. "And then if y'all believe that, then y'all believe McDonald's sells tacos," which is kind of funny. I mean, I feel like he probably could have come up with something a little bit better, but the idea is obviously there. He's trying to support Draymond.
Yeah.
So as you sit here right now, do you think there's tension between Draymond and any existing member on the team outside of the occasional time when when emotion gets the better of him and he takes a shot at him?
I don't think there's any tension that Draymond doesn't purposely create.
Huh. Why? Explain that.
Because I think for the most part, the Warriors are Boy Scouts.
Yep.
I think for the most part around the league, they're generally viewed as a soft team. And I think Draymond is one of the guys who creates tension, who creates toughness. I think he does it on purpose because that's what the team needs.
I remember you telling me on multiple occasions many months ago that one of the things that the Cohen-era Warriors always lacked was an alpha dog.
Absolutely.
And they didn't get it with Steph, yep. and they didn't get it with Clay, yep. and they didn't get it when they brought in the myriad of veterans who they tried, like Mookie Blaylock right. and Danny Fortson and all these losers,
yeah.
and then they stumbled into one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small sense of irony that they're taking shots at the guy for being an alpha dog now, no?
Yeah, but you're not hearing that from the players or from the coaches or from the front office.
All right, I'll take it that next step and I'll follow your lead. The next thing that Ethan points out is that there might be tension, in fact, between Draymond and Steve Kerr. And what he uses, one of the examples, and let me first, or not first, let me say this now while I'm thinking of it. Really enjoyed the article, really like Ethan, and he was very careful.
Yeah.
He was... insinuating things, pointing things out, but at no point came out and said there is some giant riff. All he was doing was providing quotes. So I don't mean to paint an unfair picture. But what he did say is that there's the possibility of tension between Steve Kerr and Draymond, because if you look at this quote that Draymond gave during the championship parade, when they stopped, and you know Draymond already had that huge beginning where he was saying, yep, nope, and look hammered. Mm-hmm. Then he finally takes the stage, and even though Raymond Ritter didn't want him to talk, offered this speech, quote, "With these guys, everything's fun. The only time it's not fun is practice, film, games, bus rides. I'm the only person that gets talked about what shots I take and all those things by Steve Kerr. Like, every time I take a shot, he complains. So that's why. If you see every time I take or make a shot, I look at him. Dude complains every time I take a shot." And you may remember, he goes over, he grabs Steve Kerr, he drags him all the way to the microphone. Steve is looking like he has been kidnapped. Right. You know, like he may blink twice to signify that he needs like the FBI to come, you know, rescue him. And while Draymond has him trapped there, he says this, quote, "From the start of training camp, he hated me. That's no lie. He probably still hates me. That's no lie. But we're going to keep winning these championships, and that's no lie." Now, they laughed. Mm-hmm. Everybody laughed. They went back to the state. Then we all continued on with a phenomenal afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. But read in this context, it sounds a little ugly, you know?
Yeah, but if you remember all the context of it, it doesn't sound ugly at all.
Yeah.
Draymond Green had drank more stuff out of a plastic red cup. And every time it was empty, Marshawn Lynch refilled it. He was hammered. You also have to remember that Steve Kerr was days away from having back surgery. And he had a huge 6'7" man grabbing him around the shoulders and dragging him up to the mic. That's why he was uncomfortable. And Steve Kerr did hate him in training camp.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green has admitted this, that he was trying to show off for the new coach, and he was jacking threes and trying to show that he could be the stretch four that they didn't get in Kevin Love. And finally they had a conversation, and Steve Kerr said, "Just play like you.
Yeah.
I like you as a player. Stop trying to do that." Very early in camp, Draymond Green cussed at Steve Kerr during a timeout. And as they left to go back on the court, Draymond apologized, and Steve Kerr said, "No, that's what I love about you. I love that passion." So there's no riff there. Even the thing in Oklahoma City where they went nose to nose, that was washed over by the second half.
I've noticed that you haven't complimented my reading voice at all yet. I mean, I have a really good reading voice, and so far, I mean, you have not said, I mean, to be fair, for the first 5 minutes of this podcast, I was having difficulty completing sentences, so I can see why you would have backed off, but by now, I think you should have given me a compliment.
I was a little bit shocked that you knew how to read, so maybe I missed the fact.
Weird. Well, consider so now that you've gotten over, we're going to read a couple more things, so
I don't mind
to mention that. Yeah. Second thing, maybe more importantly, so as you sit here right now, any reason to believe there is tension between Steve Kerr and Draymond Green?
No.
To kind of back that, much like Spates, Kerr came out today, didn't address the article directly and said, here's what he said, quote, "It's kind of old news for us, or old news for us. A lot of his stuff that's happening that's already been covered, we're the supervillains now, so there's going to be a lot more stories coming out." So I just kind of dismissed it and didn't even feel like the details were worth it.
That was great reading, except you said nude instead of news.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe now that feels a little disingenuous.
Yeah,
it was completely disingenuous. Yeah. Well, that doesn't count. You still owe me some kind of a compliment.
Okay.
All right. Good shit. Last point. Ethan gets this quote from an NBA exec. I won't even set it up. Quote, he's obviously talking about Draymond. He's what will ultimately prevent them from having long-term success. Do you agree?
I mean, it depends on the context that he's saying that. Like, is he saying that because he's the first one that's going to demand out of his contract and leave, and all of a sudden they can't play that small ball lineup? Or is he saying it in this exact context, that because of the tension that he brings?
Well, since it was like a 4-page article about only one topic, and this was included in that topic, I'm pretty sure we can figure it out from context.
If it's in that context, I don't agree with it. I think every team needs an alpha. I think Draymond is certainly the alpha on the Warriors, and there's nobody trying to take that spot.
I guess I completely agree. I mean, what I feel like is that Draymond hasn't changed, just the scrutiny on what he is doing is changing. Yeah. One of my favorite stories about Draymond Green, I think I got from you, during his rookie season, at that point it's still Mark Jackson, and they are assigning rookies to veterans, right? And you told me that the veteran that they gave Draymond Green was Jeremy Tyler. Right. And during a scrimmage, Jeremy Tyler called some foul that Draymond didn't believe in, and Draymond stands up and goes, "You are not my goddamn veteran.
Right.
Get the hell out of here." That is berating a player in practice, that is standing up to a player in practice, that is causing tension between teammates, yep. right? But before everybody was looking at this really closely, we loved it.
Yeah.
It's providing backbone to a team that didn't have it.
Right.
If he does that now, with the type of media attention they're getting, we would spend a 3-week media right. cycle looking at how he's lost his mind and trying to figure out if he kicked him in the dick and we didn't hear about it.
Right.
You know, so I really feel like it's the media scrutiny that's changed,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And even one of the better stories that year was they went to the playoffs against Denver, and Jarrett Jack at that time was the alpha of the locker room. He was the most respected guy. He was considered the toughest guy.
Who?
Yeah, remember when Jarrett Jack played for the Warriors? And Jarrett Jack gets into Draymond during a timeout, says, "Hey, man, you got to help me out. You got to be there on help defense." And Draymond, a rookie, looks back at him and says, "No, you need to stay in front of your man." And rookies don't say that kind of stuff. They especially don't say it to Jarrett Jack, but it made the whole team look at Draymond differently.
Yeah, right.
He's not just taking it out on Jeremy Tyler, who doesn't play. He's going right at the alpha of the team.
How much courage does it take to write an article like this? I'll keep it personal. Like, if I'm traveling with these guys, because
right.
Sherwood, I mean, Ethan's been with him for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, he's always there, yeah.
He knows these guys.
Yep.
He's now working for a major outlet in ESPN,
yep.
so they know his face.
Right.
This is the beginning of a season, so he's now going to be traveling with them
right.
every single day. There's no way that they're happy about it.
Right.
And if 90%, 80%, 20% of what he's saying is true,
right.
he is taking shots at a guy he is now called, emotionally unstable at best.
Yeah.
So, one, how much courage does it take to write this? Two, would you have wrote this article?
I like the way that he wrote it in kind of the show, not tell fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here are just examples. You make up your mind what you think, right? I think that's the right way to do it. This is a tough time to do it. You're doing it right before the season. You're going to have to travel with them all year. And Draymond has enough power in that locker room that if he doesn't want to talk to you, he can probably convince the other 14 guys that they don't want to talk to you.
Huh.
And we need them. They need us to get their voice out, but we also need them to get our stories
sure,
out.
Right.
So, that's a tough one to do this early in the year, that's for sure.
We had Ethan on about 2 weeks ago, maybe three. I'm not sure. Close enough.
Did you record it?
And shockingly, we not only recorded, but the recording actually worked. I am keeping a count, by the way. That is the third joke you've told about this thing not working. Maybe we can get up to 10. We'll see. We'll see where it is.
Call back.
There you go. Here is what Ethan told us about the addition of David West, and it reflects perfectly on our current topic. David West, how does he help this team?
I think he's a viable backup center. He's not going to give you any rim protection. We don't know how much gas is in the tank, to use the cliche, but I don't think that's his main function here. I think the main function he has... Wait, can I curse? What are the rules?
Immediately, on please.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I think the main function he has is someone to tell Draymond to shut the f*** up / shut the f*** up or he'll beat your ass. They have not had a bulwark against Draymond. They do not have anybody even approaching anything close to an enforcer type or a veteran to calm him down. So that is why they got him. That's a huge factor.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think Ethan got about 50% of the story. I think David West is certainly here to help control Draymond Green.
Yep. Principal reason he's here.
There are two guys in the league who you don't mess with. Tony Allen and David West. And that even goes for Draymond Green. If David West stands up in the locker room, Draymond Green sits down. The other thing I think the Warriors lost during the offseason was a lot of toughness. Andrew Bogut, whatever you think about him, he's tough. He will challenge you to punch him in the face. And he will punch you back.
I've seen him do that in a playoff game, that is absolutely true.
David West is tough, and they needed him, and they needed Zaza Pachulia to bring some of that toughness. So I think it's about 50-50. Some to control Draymond a little bit, and some because they desperately needed his toughness.
Did you fight everyone in the league and slowly build a list of people who you could not fight? And how do you finally know that you cannot go after Tony Allen and David West?
It's the Tony Allen one is hands down number one. Like, even in the GM survey today,
have who do you not want to fight.
No, they put who's the toughest dude in the league, and Tony Allen wins every year. The David West thing, nobody's challenged him, so nobody knows, but just because of the looks he gives you.
Is there
and
really?
I'll tell you this,
David Lee and Roy Hibbert got into a fight in Indiana.
I remember.
And that was when we still sat courtside, so we were right in the middle of it. And Klay Thompson went into the fight with a ball to try to help, and Steph Curry kept coming in and kept spinning back out. And every time those two got spun out of the thing, it was David West who was throwing them. So that's all you need to know.
I love the idea that there's this kind of like folk knowledge, like behind-the-scenes stories that everybody kind of knows. You're not sure why you know, but that it is out there. And even more than that, I love that one of those pieces of folk knowledge is that thou shalt not fight Tony Allen or David West. The other reason I thought they brought him in, and the only reason I know this is because I've asked you this question before and I loved your answer, was the concept that Draymond has created some enemies. You know, he is really disliked now around the league. We have already seen some of the implications of that. And maybe this entire year, we're going to have times where people are going to be taking shots at Draymond and he cannot take shots back because otherwise he's going to be suspended and his reputation is going to take an even further hit and he's going to have his hands tied, right? And what they needed was a guy who would maybe take those punches back for him. And it sounded like it was a short list. Tony Allen wasn't available, so they had to go after David West.
Yeah, so now they have the enforcer who can back up Draymond Green. And if David West gets suspended, it hurts your team a lot less than if Draymond Green gets suspended.
If you had to fight one of them, had to, no way around it, which one would you pick?
Oh, Tony Allen will bite you in a fight. Like, he just doesn't stop. So I'll go with David West. I mean, I know I'm losing either one, but I'll go with David West.
The other thing I learned about David West since the last time I recorded is that he has been silently protesting the national anthem well before Colin Kaepernick did. And his form is a little bit more subtle. What he does is he takes a couple of steps behind the line, which is why you can't necessarily tell. I won't even try to attempt to explain why he does that. He did so remarkably eloquently. Yeah. So if you want to take a look, go ahead and look it up. It's readily available. The reason I bring it up to you is, so far at least, even though we heard a whole lot during the offseason about how they wanted to educate this team, that they brought people in, they're going to have a coordinated response. So far, we have not seen any protests from the Golden State Warriors. What does that say to you? Should we expect something? Is this ship already sailed? What's going on here?
It tells me that it's preseason. Most of these games aren't even on TV. Yeah. They don't even bring up the house lights for some of these games.
I think the house lights are on. There's a good chance they turn on the lights.
The Warriors, I think, are brilliant at recognizing the stage, recognizing the bright lights. And I think when it's time, they'll know and they'll do something. And one of the things that I think is really important, I think David West is probably upset that the story got out now because I think all 15 guys will do something together when the stage is right.
Who makes that call? Who decides when it's right?
I bet Andre Iguodala has the biggest voice in that.
And is it just when you say Golden State has a sense of the moment, essentially? Are you talking about just the players, or is the front office involved in this too?
Everybody is. I mean, Bob Myers is the one who said, you can either try or not try. We're going to try. Yeah, right. So they brought a bunch of people in to talk when they reported to camp in Napa, and this is something that they have talks about all the time. They want to make sure they're all on the same page. Andre Iguodala bought books for a bunch of the guys. So they've studied up on it, and I think they're coming to a conclusion that all 15 guys agree with, and when the lights are the brightest and they have the best podium, I think they'll all do something together.
This is taking us backwards, not forwards, and I apologize for it, but I got to ask, the way that David West would hold Draymond in check, literally physically, I mean, the Warriors went out and they brought someone in who they knew could physically withstand Draymond?
If it came to that, it shouldn't. A look from David West stops most things.
Yeah. But they considered that, though. I mean, like, this was probably part of their decision-making. Sure. Look, we may need someone who can physically handle Draymond and put him back into a seat.
Right.
That's a little scary.
And has the guts to do it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't ask, which I thought was rude, but I think I would also fight Tony Allen. Not also. I think I'd go after Tony Allen. The whole size of David West would scare the hell out of me, although I wouldn't fight David Wood either. He was kind of a big guy as well. But I think I might be able to take Tony Allen. What do you think about that?
No, you can't.
I mean, Tony Allen, you don't know.
He's clinically crazy.
But maybe I'm an amazing fighter. Maybe you're not. You don't know that.
I know that.
Like karate,
I tried to fight an entire Dartmouth fan base one time, and you hid behind me and a guy in a tiara.
I do remember some of that? I don't remember the tiara or me hiding behind anything.
And you were eating Hershey Kisses.
I do remember you losing your mind. I also remember us losing the audience with a reference that nobody understood.
Well, so they all like it, though.
I don't think that's true at all. You know, let me whisk us away from this subject and go to one that you brought up a little earlier. You mentioned the GM survey. For those who have not been reading all the articles that came out, they have a yearly GM survey. This year's survey just came out, 3 or 4 days ago, where the GMs answer questions like, who's the best point guard in the league? Who do you expect to win a championship? What caught my attention is that I received this text message from you last night. Quote, let's get the GM poll in there. It's one of the few things I've ever seen make Steph mad. Now, that drew my attention for a couple reasons. One, Steph mad. I want to hear all about that. Two, getting a text message from you is like finding a diamond in an ashtray. And finally, three, you have never suggested content for the show. So, I mean, my God, man, I couldn't tell you how fired up I am. The floor is yours. What do you want to tell us about the GM survey?
So I've watched Steph answer questions about everything and every different kind of shot that somebody's taken at him. He just kind of laughs it off and answers it and goes about his way. There was a year where the GMs did not put him among the top 5 point guards, but they voted him the top shooting guard in the league. And it infuriated him because he had worked so hard to become a point guard.
Yeah, hell yes.
And it's one of the few times where I saw, like, he's going to lose it right here.
Is it because it's the GM? Let's say the fans had a vote and it was a similar thing. Would he care?
No, not as much, right? Like, it's the decision makers in the league. It's the guys who watch the most tape, who are supposed to know the most. And they're telling him that he doesn't even play the position that he plays.
Well, in this year's survey, there was both good and bad. Good, 69% think Golden State will win the title. The other 31% think it's Cleveland. 63% think Steph is the best player in the NBA. And I'm sorry, best point guard in the NBA.
At least they got the position right this year.
Yeah, there you go. And then 40% think that Clay is the best shooting guard, although 56% voted for Harden. Now, there's also
those GMs apparently don't like defense.
Yeah, which is possible. Also, they're not recognizing that Harden is now playing point guard, so good for that. But there's also some bad things. 46% thought LeBron would win the MVP this year, compared to only 10% for Steph and 6% for KD. And this was the real
fact that Steph is behind Russell Westbrook in the MVP race is going to drive him crazy.
How about this one? I thought this was in particularly ugly. If you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? Number one, Karl-Anthony Towns, Minnesota, 48.3%. Number two, Kevin Durant, Golden State, 20.7%. Number three, LeBron James, Cleveland, 17.2%. It goes down through six. You know where Steph appears? Nowhere.
Also receive vote. Votes.
Yeah. This is more than a slap to the face. This can't be real. How old is Steph?
27.
So he is just entering right now. He's just entering his prime.
Right.
He is easily the most popular player in the league by leaps and bounds. He is the cleanest player in the league we've ever seen. He has no drug problems. He is uber religious. He is phenomenal in front of a camera. He has changed the way that you play basketball. He has changed the way that you play offense. He is an improving defensive player. He's a back-to-back MVP, the second of which was unanimous. And he doesn't get in the top six of this conversation.
But doesn't this some of this show you that some of the GMs don't get it? And don't you understand Joe Lacob's comment of light years ahead? Because the league is not one that you have to have a big man anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It is a point guard league now. And the James Harden over Klay Thompson, to me, that shows that they don't understand that you have to play defense.
It almost feels like the old guard at a high school refusing to acknowledge the new most popular kid.
Yep.
You know, like, nope, we won't even vote him in.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's dominating everything. Right. And this would piss me off, too.
Yeah.
You know, one last bad thing that caught my attention. So last year, when they asked the GMs who the best defensive team in the NBA is, the Warriors won hands down 58.6%. This year they asked, number one, San Antonio, 50%. Number two, Boston, 13%. Number three, Cleveland, 10%. Then Golden State, also at 10%. All they lost was Bogut. What's happening?
Bogut and Festus were pretty important to what they were doing.
But they replaced it. They replaced it with Zaza, who is a legitimate tough-nosed defender.
But not a rim protector. And I'm telling you, what Bogut did on the back line in communicating with the rest of the defense is huge.
Who will they miss the most of the players that they've lost in the offseason? Bogut?
Oh, Bogut, for sure. Far. For sure.
And it's because of what you're saying right now, the quarterback into the defense?
Quarterback into the defense, and you forget that he was the hub of the offense a lot of times.
They got away from that in the playoffs, though. He definitely was the hub of the offense, but they got away from it a little bit.
Yep.
You've been watching the preseason?
Yeah.
Any major observations?
Klay Thompson's really good when he's open.
what I have been thinking, I mean, quickly, and you've heard some of these already, but one, watching this team finally is like watching proof positive the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah. Like it's like video that like I'm watching something I've heard about, I didn't think was actually real, right, but I couldn't get enough of. Two, and this is a really selfish take, but the Clippers game when they were up by 50,
right,
it felt like we were kind of watching all the stages of grief go by. You know, like the first thing for the rest of the league was rage.
Yeah.
How could KD do this to us? He's such a traitorous bastard. Why don't you just stay with your own team? Right. The next one was this kind of defensive off-base confidence. We'll be fine. Warriors can establish chemistry. There's right. no way this is going to come together. The third one, and this is what happened in the Clippers game, was shocked realization. My acceptance. God, yeah. Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. There's all these moments he's getting, you know, he's the trailer on these plays. And then we'd have these sequences where Steph would beat his man off the dribble. Two people would race at Steph. Steph gives it over to Kevin Durant. He beats his man off the dribble. Five people race at Durant. Right. Then he flips it over to Klay Thompson for a wide open three. Yep. I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Concerns? Have you seen anything that bothers you?
Yeah, they don't have any rim protection.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get over this quickly, and this is not a bad problem, but they do defer to each other too much right
yes.
now.
Yeah.
All of them are passing too much. Steph Curry especially yeah. is passing too much. He's not looking for a shot.
And to Durant specifically.
Absolutely.
They yeah. look like brand new lovers. Yeah. They look like a couple that just started and they're in the infatuation. So
right.
there's periods where they'll have a poor play, a backdoor pass that goes out of bounds, and they'll go up to each other, that was my fault. No, that was my fault. Right. No, that was my fault. Great play. That's amazing. It's the kind
while
of
while the
thing,
other team is scoring.
Oh, yeah, but they don't care. Right. You know, like they'll have some play where the other one's on the bench and they'll like make eye contact, prolonged eye contact just because they like staring into each other's eyes. Yeah. You know, I love it. It's also the kind of thing, as a Warrior fan, amazing. If I rooted for any other team, I would be so resentful of this. I would hate this so much. I have been with my wife for long enough now where I hate new love. I hate when I see that kind of stuff. My wife has a friend whose name I won't include so as to protect the guilty, but she brought a brand new boyfriend over. My wife wasn't in. We were sitting in my kitchen, and at some point, my wife's friend and her new boyfriend lose each other in each other's eyes. He twirls her around, and then they kiss as if they were the only two people on earth.
In your home?
In my home.
That's
okay.
not allowed.
No, my God, it's not allowed. It's the kind of thing in a romantic comedy. Everyone's like, that's amazing. In real life, I hated those people. I wanted to shoot them in their face.
Yeah.
Do not make me awkward in my own home.
Right.
That's what Durant and Curry reminded me of. They get lost in each other's eyes, which is amazing.
Doesn't it sound like there's a lot of tension in this Warriors team?
That's left and right. Last point and last thing that will kind of draw them together. The other thing that I've been reminded of in this preseason is that when he wants to, and it's not always, and I would imagine he's got to save his energy, but when he wants to, Kevin Durant is not only a seven-footer, he is a seven-foot defender
who
can protect the rim.
Oh, yeah.
In a vicious, athletic, you know, surprising way.
Yeah.
We spend all this time focusing on what he can do offensively, but some of that defense that we lost with Bogut, I think he's going to make up, no?
He'll be an all-league defender. One of his very first mentors in the league was Ron Adams, who runs the Warriors' defense.
Why? How did that happen?
He was in Oklahoma City at the time.
I didn't know he was there.
Yeah,
okay.
So they got really close. Kevin Durant respects him. And you saw last year in the playoffs when Kevin Durant knew it was time, he took over games on the defensive end. I mean, he has an ability to change a game on that end. And the way he respects Ron Adams and what Ron Adams will get out of him, I think will make him spectacular. The day he signed with the Warriors, I said he'll be an all-league defender.
Why bring Mike Brown? If we already have the best defensive coach in the league, what's the addition of Mike Brown?
I think they needed more on the defensive side.
Huh.
It's funny when they go to timeouts right now. The huddle used to be Kerr and Q and Walton and JC.
Yeah.
They're all talking offense, and Adams is the only one over there
right.
talking defense. And so now there's another mind in there. Now, look, they all do both offense and defense, but basically it was Adams and then the rest of the coaching staff. Mike Brown's a defensive guy and adds to it.
And Adams has the type of personality where he's fine with that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He was the entire defensive coordinator. Now he has to share that role, and that doesn't cause any
But
drama.
Think about who this is. I mean, 2 years in a row, the GM poll has put Ron Adams as the best assistant coach in the league.
But the GM poll we just established doesn't know shit. We can't focus on the
GM. You know that people have come to him to see if he wants to be a head coach, and he's always said no. You know that the Warriors offered him the lead assistant job last year and again this year, and he said no. He likes kind of being in the background. He likes player development, hands-on. He doesn't care about those things.
That's interesting. That makes perfect sense. All right, let's stop talking about what's already happened. Let's start focusing on what may. So I want to get your predictions. Before we do, let's add some stakes. Okay. Generally speaking, I find prediction podcasts to be useless. There is absolutely no accountability. I can tell you anything I want. We don't even check them at the end of the year. Right. People forget, so it's just useless entertainment. I want to stop that. What I want to do is play a game called Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. This state of California, in its infinite wisdom, has taught us that we cannot bet money. So I suggest we both put in 250 beans.
Beans, right. Okay.
I'm going to ask us a series of questions that we're going to offer predictions on. At the end of the year, we'll revisit those predictions. Whomever gets the most predictions right wins all of the 500 beans. What do you think?
I like that, and especially since I start with a bonus for predicting the exact date that Steve Kerr would return last year.
Ooh, you're not starting off with anything.
January 22nd.
I can't. You
count it.
I'm gonna help you with this because in the past you've illustrated to me that you don't understand how bets work. Oh. Generally speaking, if you just fire off predictions, right. No one has asked you, would you like to bet on this? There's no bet on it.
Oh.
It's just you predicting. It's just information you've put out there.
So I don't get anything for Kevin Durant being all-league defender this year?
No, that's not true. You get the ability to break your arm to pat yourself on the back during this podcast.
Right on. Yeah.
How you feel? You feeling pretty important? Yeah. No, then that one really well. Then congratulations. But
Thank you.
Get absolutely...
But no beans.
No beans. Okay. No beanage at all.
All right.
One last piece of logistics, and then actually I have a question for you. But logistically, and this is out there to you guys in the audience, we could really use your help if someone would be willing to write down what our answers are, ultimately track it throughout the season, and then during the offseason, let us know who won. We will have you on the show. You will be our official accountant, and we'll also make sure to get you a thank you present. Resha, you'll be in charge of getting them something, or can you hook that up?
Well, I'll win, so I'll donate my beans to them.
All right, well, I guess you'll get nothing from Rusty, but we will hook you up one way or the other. If you do have any interest in being that role for us, hit us up with an email, warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Before we jump in, I got to ask, betting, happen in the NBA?
No, they're not allowed.
Okay, come on. They bet. That's Of course they do. I already know the answer to that. How much betting
they
happens?
Bet over it. They bet over everything. They bet over their alma mater's games, they bet over NFL games, they bet over horse games, over three-point competitions. The Warriors have a half-court shooting competition after every shoot-around.
So take me through that.
At one point, Steph won the half-court shooting competition so many times in a row that they wouldn't let him participate, and he just had to be the accountant on it.
How does this, does everybody just throw money in and you got whoever hits the shot first?
Okay. Yeah.
So on a half-court shot competition, how much money can be riding on something like that?
Well, it stacks up, so if it goes from one city to the next at the shoot-around, it can really start piling up if nobody makes it.
What's the highest amount you've ever seen of that?
I don't think I've ever seen it get to six figures, but it may have come close.
That is insane.
But you got to think with the Warriors, they got, like, Mo Spates was brilliant at the half-court shot, so it didn't add up a lot.
Sure.
There was one this year in Chicago where Steve Kerr made an underhand kind of bowling-type horseshoe shot. I don't think he took the money.
Do the coaches?
The coaches are in it. The trainers are in it. Sometimes the media relations guys get in it.
Let's take those in turn. Let's start with the coaches. What kind of bets will the players have with coaches?
Well,
and obviously they're only betting beans, I would imagine, but
it's not money.
I mean, of course.
Because it's not allowed in the NBA. But so they have the half court shot where everybody's involved. And then you'll see before the games, each player has their own individual assistant coach who they work out with before the game.
Yeah.
And part of everybody's drill, even Steph's circus of a shoot around before a game, includes some one-on-one time with Q.
Okay.
And they count that, whether it's 5 or 10 for different guys, and whoever, if it's either a make or a miss.
Yeah.
Miss, the coach wins. Make, the player wins.
Literally one-on-one.
One-on-one.
Player has the ball, coach is trying
and
to defend
him. And the coaches are fouling the heck out of them.
And there's no calls.
But the players can't call anything, right? So that would be terrible. And that's a running tally as well. And then Steph's, everybody knows Steph's shot that he takes.
Hold on. Running tally means what? They bet on each one of those?
They bet. No, there's a total for each pregame shoot, okay. and then that tallies up throughout the year. So a lot of times, no beans ever exchange because Steph wins one day, Q wins the next day, and just keeps going back and forth. Yep. Everybody knows about Steph's hallway shot. Yep.
That There's beanage on that as
that
well.
That started because Pat Sund bet that he couldn't do it. And so those kind of things are happening all the time. And it can just – somebody can just – now Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant shoot three. It used to be for years – Steph shot at one basket at the practice facility, and Klay Thompson shot at the opposite one, back-to-back, yeah. and Klay would look over his shoulder yeah. all the time to see if Steph was still practicing. Now Kevin Durant and Klay shoot on the same hoop, and you can only imagine how much is on that.
You casually mentioned that sometimes media relations may have money against yeah. them. Have you ever actually had an active bet against the Warrior?
Yes. I like to shoot free throws because nobody can defend it. If they defended me, I would lose, but it's just 10 feet and 10 feet. They haven't changed it.
You getting ready to tell me a lie that you've beaten them in a free throw contest?
I've never beaten anybody in anything, but I try really hard.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I thought for sure you were, in fact, going to lie. How do you make up for, NBA players make way more money than their coaches yeah. or the people who cover them for the media. How the hell do you make that up?
They'll do percentages. Like if it's a media guy versus a player, maybe it's my 10% to their 100%.
I will beat you in a free throw contest. How do you,
you
feel
will,
about that?
You
I
would
will,
never.
I will beat you in a free throw contest.
I tried to let you win in Papa Shot.
Oh, here we go with your filthy
and
Papa
I
Shot.
And I won
life.
Three times in a row, including one time.
You took the balls.
Including one time left-handed.
Okay, we already know this is going to be the segment, or a topic of a full segment. I'm not jumping down this rabbit hole.
I do want to talk about one of the greatest bets I ever saw was at the rookie sophomore game in Dallas, I believe. I may get the city wrong, but a rookie sophomore game, Anthony Morrow, OJ Mayo have a game of horse going. And Morrow is destroying OJ Mayo.
Shocking.
And finally, Morrow says, I will shoot the rest of my shots left-handed. You keep shooting them right-handed, and Morrow still wins.
If that happens to you, would you have let the person start shooting left-handed? I'd prefer
no
to just
way.
Lose. I'd
yeah.
just lose. I'd just attack
get
him. Just fight
yeah,
immediately.
Right? Yeah.
I'd go Tony Allen on his ass and see what the hell happens from there, you know? All right, that's enough setup. Let's you and I jump into some beanage. We already we've got the premise down, so I'm going to fire off some questions.
Were
so
any of those bets? Do I get beans for
My
any
God,
of that stuff?
Man.
That was a lot of stuff I said.
How do you not speak English? Like, are you new to this country? Why do you not have the concept of betting down? I mean, well, here's how it works. I'll ask you a question.
Okay,
you got to get it right. If you get more right than I do, then you'll
then
win
I get
the beans. You with me?
Okay. Awesome.
Here we go. Here's our first question. The record over the first 20 games will be what? You got to hit it on the head. Otherwise, neither of us get a point.
Well, of course, I'm going to get it right. They'll go 15-5.
I feel like you just looked right at my sheet.
I did.
You looked right at my sheet. You can't be, I mean, my God.
Okay, I'll go 14-6.
You all right. Well, I'm going 15-5.
Okay.
Shockingly.
Cool.
I'll go first on this. Next one wins on the year 65.
67 is the answer.
67 is a stupid answer and a wrong one.
Correct one.
All right, this one's on you. Who wins the league's MVP?
Russell Westbrook.
LeBron James.
Because you just looked at that GM poll.
LeBron James. So far, I've gotten every question
Russell
right.
Westbrook is going to average a triple-double with 40 points.
Here's what's going to be shocking. He still won't win the MVP.
Wow.
So good luck with that. What Warriors make the All-Star team? You're up first on this one.
Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant.
I agree with that. The question is, do I want to just match it, or do I try to take a little lead here?
Throw Draymond in there and just make it
help.
A little different.
I don't need your help. That was a rhetorical
Ooh,
question.
I'm putting Steve Kerr in the coaching staff.
No, you
I
can't
win.
Do that. It's players. It's just players. I will throw Draymond in. I'm going
Good.
All four. All
yeah,
four.
You
Steph,
lost.
KD, Klay, Draymond. Points per game. Harrison Barnes versus Klay Thompson.
Oh, Klay's going to destroy him.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree with that. How about Harrison Barnes versus Draymond Green?
Harrison Barnes.
I take Draymond.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Even
yes,
though you know the coach hates it when he shoots.
Even though I know that everybody hates Harrison. That guy sucks. I mean,
he's having a really bad preseason.
Yeah, it's going to be a real shock when everybody realizes in Dallas that they spent $95 million for a player whose real principal reason you want to watch him in the game is that he during the national anthem. I mean, there's nothing else that I want to watch with that guy.
Do you think that was a protest that he always went in there and took a pregame dump?
You know what? I will have to ask you. It's my favorite story from the podcast. Beyond that, I
asked him. It was not a protest.
That would be a very ugly protest.
The league finally did call him and tell him, you got to stop taking pregame dumps during the anthem. Get out there.
Honestly, I feel like that's probably appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. All right, over-under on three-pointers for Steph this season, 350 for point of reference. Last year, he set the record with 402.
Under.
Over. God,
really?
Do you even watch this team? Do you know anything about them? 350 at 402 last year. He's going to drop 50. He's going to be wide open for most of the year.
Is he?
Yes.
I think Klay Thompson's going to be open for most of the year.
We've established that. Which Warrior leads the team in scoring? I think it's my turn.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant.
I mean, that's the obvious answer, but the correct one is Klay Thompson.
You're big on Klay this year, huh?
He's brilliant.
He's intelligence-wise or just
that,
really good?
That too, but he's really, really good when no one guards him.
Would you mind just making the same point over and over again for the rest of this podcast?
I just want to emphasize the fact that nobody is guarding him in the preseason.
Who's him? Oh, Klay.
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't you say that earlier?
I should have.
Over-under on Draymond triple-doubles. I put the number this year at 10. Last year, he had 13.
I don't think he's going to play enough minutes. I'm going to say under.
I'm also going to say under.
Okay.
This worries me.
Yeah.
This isn't, I mean, everything we read from Sherwood Strauss up front wasn't a surprise. It's who we know him to be.
Right.
But a lot of that stems from pride, justified pride now, but from pride. Right. A man who is that prideful is not going to want to lose the impact he had on last year's team.
Right.
You know, and I know he wants to win. I know he wants a championship. And I know he's established a great relationship with KD. And I don't think he's going to cause a problem.
Right.
But I do think there's going to be some mental hurdles for him to get over. Am I wrong?
I see what you're saying, but I think he grew up a lot last year. Like, when Walton was coaching the team, Draymond would check himself back in to get triple-doubles.
Yep.
It mattered to him. He was the most vocal about going for 73 wins. It mattered to him. They lost the championship. That mattered to him.
Yep.
And I think he learned that, hey, I'm going to have to take some nights off. I don't have to play 40 minutes. Triple-doubles don't matter.
Sure.
Winning the championship matters.
What bench guy has the highest points per game? This one on me?
Yeah.
David West.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been about my fifth pick.
Are there even five guys who are playing off the bench?
Yeah, for sure.
He's definitely not fifth. I'll bet you about that in a heartbeat.
Take the obvious one. It's going to be Andre Iguodala.
Andre doesn't score. How is that obvious?
He scores when he's wide open, and then he says, hold it.
Don't you try to curry favor just by bringing up my favorite thing that Andre does. Who leads the team in assists this year?
It's back to Steph.
Yeah, that one we agree on, unfortunately enough. Will Klay average over 20 points per game?
Yes.
No question at all.
No question at all in my mind.
I'm going to say no. I think he's going to be under it. I do think he's going to have an amazing year, and I think he'll find his shots, but I think that Durant's going to take enough volume shooting where he's not going to get the opportunity to put up 20 per game. More minutes, Patrick McCaw or Ian Clark?
McCaw. I hesitate slightly there because...
Because you changed your answer from last time and you should have said Ian Clark?
Because Steve Kerr says he doesn't have a problem with playing rookies, but we've never seen him have rookies,
right.
So who really knows? But McCaw might be good,
I
man.
Love
he
McCaw.
He might be good.
What weighs more, McCaw or this pen in my hand?
That pen.
Yeah, by far, like 4 or 5 pounds.
His thighs are the same size as his ankles.
What the hell goes on? Why the hell are... Let me put that a different way. I understand why people took it hard that Lacob said they were light years ahead. I understand that that's pompous and condescending. I also feel that if the Warriors continue to get second-round picks like McCaw, like steal them, they paid $2.8 million, got him from Milwaukee, that in fact they are light years ahead.
Right.
Do these guys have an amazing scouting department? What the hell is going on?
They do. They do have an amazing scouting department. I think Travis Schlink is one of the best in the world at that. But also, you got to understand they've missed on a lot of second-round picks too.
Yeah.
Kuzmic didn't turn into anything. Nobody was going to take Nedovic in the first round. They took him. I mean, nobody was going to take him in the second round. They took him. So
was he something like the Lithuanian D Rose or something?
Yeah, the European D Rose.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right.
Look, they've earned the right to pick at the end of the first round where they can take some chances on hurt guys like Looney and Jones.
Yeah.
And they've got an owner who will spend money to take chances in the second round. But Jeremy Tyler didn't work out when they did that. Charles Jenkins wasn't any good. Nedovic was no good. Kuzmic was no good. So they got one. They got McCaw.
I just felt like
I guess we should say Draymond turned out okay in the second round.
Wasn't
right?
bad there, champ. All those names dragged me back to a very ugly era. Like I don't know if you saw,
but it wasn't. That's the funny thing. That
no,
was this
was
era.
Ugly. It was pretty ugly.
That was this era, though.
Yes, but there was moments in this era that were pretty ugly.
Oh man,
I mean, it's not like we've been winning championships left and right. Rebounds per game: Andrew Bogut or Zaza Pachulia.
Ooh, I'll go Bogut. It's per game, right? It is. Not total rebounds? Yeah, I'll go Bogut.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said rebounds per game. That's how that works.
I don't listen when you talk.
I thought that's the only time you listen to the show. You need to start focusing a little bit more carefully there, buddy. I am also going Bogut. Zaza doesn't make the thou shalt not fight list. He seems like a dude you would not want to fight against.
I wouldn't want to fight him, but he's super nice.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer if it was just like a dick kind of deal.
All right.
All right, this one I really like. And if you steal my answer, because I know you heard me last week, I'm not going to take it well.
Guess I was listening?
Guess a player that will end up on the Warriors roster before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, I did like your answer. That one. Yeah. I'm going to go with Elliot Williams again.
I have been thinking about that for a while. Yeah. Elliot Williams is currently on the D-League squad.
He has a broken leg.
That is such a bunk.
That's a great answer.
That is such a bunk.
They're going to need a third point guard at some point this year. It's going to be Elliot Williams.
Bunk answer.
It's a great answer.
I'm going Ray Allen, which is a sexy, awesome, probably correct answer.
By the way, did you see that he signed with Cleveland today?
No, that's a lie.
That is a lie.
Yeah, it's a blatant lie. I happen to also read NBA articles, so you can keep your filthy lies to yourself.
That was a really good answer. I was going to steal it.
The top five teams in the West at the end of the year. I'm up first, so I will go first. Warriors, number one. San Antonio, number two. Clippers is my surprise at three. Portland at four, Houston at five. Who's your five?
I'll do the same, but Utah at five.
Wrong. Do you want to change it?
No.
Houston? Then you're wrong. Coach of the year.
Is Houston going to play defense this year?
Definitely.
Utah will.
They won't need to. They'll be just fine.
I said this last time, too, but I still think it's crazy that neither of us considered Memphis. They got everybody back. Everybody's better. Everybody's healthy. And people in the Bay Area know how good a coach Fizdale is.
Yeah, but not everybody's better. Everybody's older. Marcus Gasol showed that he was fragile last year, and they've moved Zebo to the bench. I mean, this team hasn't added anything, and we are now in an era where playing post first is has gone the way of dinosaurs.
Yeah, but if they're the only team that can do it.
Did you see the analytical response I just gave you right there?
Yeah, that was smart.
Oh, my God.
Now I see why we didn't put Memphis 5.
Yeah, let's just pause and just allow that to slowly settle in.
Just because you dislike them so much, I'm going to put Memphis 2nd.
Go for it, buddy. It's your beans that you'll be losing. Coach of the year, who do you got?
It's Pop's year.
It is definitely Brad Stevens. Pop's year.
Yeah.
As like a lifetime achievement award or something, you think he actually makes a giant difference?
I actually think that he should be voted the coach of the year every year because he's the best coach in the NBA.
He is, in fact, the best coach in the NBA. Who are your Eastern Conference Finals teams? I guess this one's on me. Easy. Boston, Cleveland.
Yep.
Yeah. Western Conference Finals team.
San Antonio and the Warriors.
Clippers. Warriors.
Ew.
Oh, yeah.
The Clippers stink.
Look, this is a glimpse into the future. You might want to start jotting this stuff down. I don't know if you can bet these things other places, but Clippers don't stink. Clippers are not good enough to get beyond the Warriors.
Talk about a team that has some tension in it. That's the Clippers.
They have some tension, and when they lose in the Western Conference Final, that tension will boil over.
They ain't going there.
Who wins the Finals MVP?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Hey, thanks.
Kevin Durant.
Steph? Curry. No way they give it to Durant.
Yeah.
If the Warriors win, they give it to Durant, you think?
Look, he's going to have to guard LeBron, and he's going to have to score.
Take me through that possible reality. If that happens, Steph bitter at all?
No.
Not at all. Really,
he was
not
so
at all,
happy
not at
for
all.
Andre Iguodala when he won it. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but that was their first ship. If they win another one, and he's had a great series, he doesn't take it hard.
You know what Steph Curry's jealous of?
Me?
Nothing.
Am I just showing how neurotic I am, basically? I pick Steph to win the Finals MVP. And pick a team, not named Cleveland or the Warriors, to win the title. So in this
instance,
you know
my team.
Yeah, I remember it being stupid, but I don't remember who it is.
Memphis.
Yeah,
Steph. Just kidding. No. Portland. Portland's my team.
Portland's not anywhere close.
I like
close
Portland.
To the title.
You know what? In fact, if I'm allowed to change the answer, I'm going to move Portland ahead of the Clippers. I'm going to move the Clippers down to 4 and then Utah.
So give us your 5 so that whoever out there is keeping track, they have a straight
Warriors,
answer.
San Antonio, Portland, Clippers, Utah.
I think you just completely changed what you did before.
No,
but that's fine.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's fine. Portland will definitely not be 3.
Portland's good, man.
They're not that good.
They're good.
No, they're not that good. I pick Boston.
That's a good answer.
And I heard today that LaMarcus Aldridge may be on the training block and that one of the teams they're looking at is Boston. That would be a very dangerous front court.
That's a good answer.
So, yeah, no, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Final one. Who wins the finals and in how many games?
The Warriors win in 5.
Warriors in 6. I will let you, if you want to just give me 100 beans now, I'll let you buy out of the bet. You'll save yourself 150. I mean, clearly I was right on 90% of those, so...
Oh, I'll take all 500 of the beans.
You sure?
I'm going to go ahead and take all 500 of the beans.
I'm going to give you to the end of this evening.
Okay.
If you do want to quit, I'm right here. You can let me know. If not, I'll take the 500 on the back end.
I feel really good because most of your answers were wrong.
Only time will tell. Huge fun, you guys. True every week, certainly true this week. If you want to reach out to us for anything, you want to tell Rusty how stupid his answers were, if you want to let me know how much you hate my voice or how you fast forward through it, or if you want to volunteer to be our accountant, we can be reached at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account remains at warriorshuddle. Rusty's Twitter account is...
online.
Terrible. We're still on warriorsworld.net. We're also on a bunch of iTunes and other podcasting services where if you wouldn't mind hopping on there and give us a review, we would really appreciate it. Finally, we are now only 2 weeks away from the debut of Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan, a nice game show I cannot wait to debut. If you are out there and still want to participate, shoot us an email and we'll get you in. Thanks so much for listening. Huge fun. And hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good.